Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Lock up that block from El Chiringuito. This is a Ramble React. It's Thursday, the 18th of May. I'm Pete Donaldson.
I'm Vidushan Hantaraja.
And I'm Jim Campbell.
Oh, my God, gentlemen. That was not your daddy's Champions League semi-final second leg. Where was the fight back? I was expecting more of a contest, but Manchester City absolutely Manchester City'd Real Madrid. It was incredible. You know, when people have a go at, like, Newcastle fans were being owned by a murderous regime, and they say that, you know, the Newcastle United story in 2023 is like, it's one of the most unromantic success stories that could possibly happen. There is a part of your brain that goes, aye, we're out those fucking football robots smashing Real Madrid, just like Real Madrid used to smash everybody. When you talk about statement wins, Jim Campbell, that has to be up there with the Aguero QPR match. Back in the day, like, I mean, it's just incredible, Jim, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so, like, from within inside the club, everyone will think of it like that, and from outside the club, everyone else will go like, yeah, sure, cool, which is kind of how it works now, isn't it? When kind of analysing City, but the performance was so dominant, so much more than I think any of us expected it to be.
Yeah.
Even if Man City went into this as favourites, we've said. Been saying for a while now, this really, really looks like their year to just clean up and win everything.
Mm.
And it's interesting thinking about the individual duels before the game, because, you know, Kyle Walker and Vinicius Jr. was a really fascinating one in the first leg.
Yeah.
And it just wasn't really a duel at all, was it?
Yeah, they got it right.
You just didn't really notice that there were duels happening on the pitch, really. It was such a complete display from City. And I think part of that is the mentality that's been built up over seven seasons under Pep Guardiola.
Mm.
You know, they've had a lot of attempts at this now. They've had a lot of experience of kind of trying to do this and falling short and essentially being in semi after semi after semi, getting comfortable there to the point where the pressure, I guess, isn't there because it's so familiar. And and we really, really saw, I think, what is probably the kind of pinnacle of the Pep era. And I say that with essentially with the assumption that they'll probably go on and beat Inter and this will be their maiden Champions League. And I think possibly of you know, their owner's time at the club. And that's as tediously depressing for us as people who don't support Man City, as I'm sure it is exciting for fans of City.
well, when you've got Vish, even Wayne Rooney, saying that Manchester City are not going to just defeat Real Madrid, they are going to crush them. When a man like Wayne Rooney says that, Vish, you've got to sort of stand up and take notice, I think it's fair to say. What was different between the first leg and the second leg?
I think the frustration was done in the first leg. I think this second leg was pretty much, right, pull the cord. Like, this is where we actually play them off the park. Bear in mind that Pep Guardiola, in his coaching methods, his ethos, and everything he's done at City so far has been geared towards striving for perfection, essentially. This unreachable perfection in a game with so many variables. And he got it. Generally, that's the most complete 45 minutes I've ever seen from a football team. Almost, but not quite, to the point of totally unemotional. Because actually, you know, watching that, watching the crowd and watching just the fever and atmosphere at the Etihad, which isn't known for such an atmosphere, it was remarkable, really. And, you know, people were tweeting about it when City were 2-0 down. When Real Madrid were 2-0 down, it was almost like, right, okay, do Real Madrid have Man City exactly where they want them? Is that how this works usually? Don't they always like go up against it and then turn it on? And actually, they got swallowed whole by the occasion of Man City's making. And that is absurd to say of a Real Madrid team that we've seen do pretty spectacular things over the last couple of years.
Especially with the manager they've got in the dugout. I mean, Real Madrid, I don't think I've ever seen a team managed by that man fall so short when it comes to playing a side in at this point in this competition.
Throughout the first half, I was just screaming at my TV, use an eyebrow, Carlo. Yes. Use an eyebrow.
You've kept got them on two. The bench. Yeah.
You've got two that you can deploy at any time. Bring one out now. But apart from maybe Vinicius, like, busting a gut to nearly think about maybe getting a half chance in the first half. I don't really remember a chance they had apart from Toni Kroos hitting the bar, actually, thinking about it. But, Guardiola is a footballing genius, isn't he? And if you give him, essentially, whatever he wants, and a within, you know, reason, unlimited kitty to just, you know, tailor his perfect footballing machine, this is what you end up with. And it is a spectacular thing to watch on the surface of it, but I don't know, I just can't enjoy it in the way that I have of really sort of dominant teams in the past. It's because, as we, you know, I alluded to earlier, the season after season after season of trying to get this right, and there's no romance to it.
Incremental improvements every single time, I suppose.
Yeah, but it's just no jeopardy there.
But Man City fans will be listening to this show and they'll be very frustrated that you know, we're kind of piling in and sort of say this is a wholly unromantic... I'm piling in. We're saying that it's an unromantic story and this is just a story of incremental games. They've been here so many times before. But Vish, even as a Manchester United fan, you must be sort of looking at that and sort of going, well, this is football at its very apex. This is football at its very best, and we should appreciate it for what it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is the quandary of it, really. And it probably is a reflection of broader society in terms of, you know, some of the best art collectors are some of the great wealth hoarders. And, you know, you're caught in this modern bind where to see these great works of art, you know, they have to be lent to galleries and whatever, and exhibitions need to be put on where they go cap in hand to these people to see these works of art. And some of those, you know, some of those collectors, some of those hoarders, you know, there is an element of benevolence to them because they do, you know, put their works on show. They are forthcoming. And I suppose that's where we are with football now. And so it's almost, you know, there's almost an argument to say, maybe not an argument, but there's a point to be made about, you know, as Jim said, what you're watching there is close to footballing perfection. And it has taken this level of wealth and this level of aptitude of not just the players, but, you know, one of the best system managers of all time, if not one of the best managers of all time, full stop, to bring it to the fore, really. And it's that weird kind of circumstance of, like, all these things have come together for it to happen. So, like, just to go back to your original question, of course I don't fucking like it as a United fan. Are you mad?
Yeah, I mean, when you're watching a game like that, and after 15 minutes, Manchester City have completed 124 passes and Real Madrid have completed 13.
I mean, that's funny. That's fundamentally funny.
I mean, that is funny because obviously Real Madrid were the old enemy back in the day. It's just absolutely incredible. And you're kind of a lost words to describe how that first 45 minutes went for Manchester City and how it didn't go for Real Madrid. Kyle Walker tackled Vinicius in the first half, and you were talking about personal battles and stuff. He said before the game that he'd been hurt by Pep's criticism of him previously. It is that kind of interpersonal kind of man management that Pep Guardiola, we can't understand because we've never experienced it. We don't know how he gets players to motivate themselves in a big match like this, but they've got there. He's managed it. I would like to know how he does it though, Vish, because goodness knows the Football Ramble could do with a dose of it.
Well, I mean, it's that thing, isn't it? Like, Kyle Walker came out and said that pre-match. If you look at the people on the pitch today, there was him, Kevin De Bruyne, John Stones, Bernardo Silva and Jack Grealish. All of those players in the last 2 years, maybe a bit further back, have been iced by Guardiola in some way. And it was all building to this moment, really. You know, like all this... It was funny that there was all this talk about, and, you know, talk that I pervade as well, that, like, you sign Erling Haaland for these moments. And actually, you know, he missed a couple of sitters. But the fact that you have him on the pitch creates this other distraction out there. Like, if you're not going to hit him, you may as well just get the Statue of Liberty and chuck him on there, or her on there, and be like, fucking hell, it's the Statue of Liberty. What's she going to do with that torch? And then all the little ones come and do their little tricksy things. But, you know, all the management, all the personal skills, all the personal, you know, the kind of private vendettas he ends up concocting with these players that sometimes, you know, come to the fore publicly. That's all for this. And you're right, it is remarkable how Guardiola is able to do that while also doing the tactical side of it. I also think it must be so exhausting. Like, what does he think about when he goes to sleep?
I think rounding up footballers' families and, you know, sending them video clips, and if you don't win tonight, you know, they're going to be in big trouble. It must be exhausting. He must have a fleet of vans. Because that's the only explanation I can imagine, Jim.
Yeah. I think, actually, one of the things that is really interesting about this iteration of Pep Guardiola's City is we've spoken about them being very robotic in the past. I mean, about 10 minutes ago, those exact words we used. But I think there were questions raised about where Jack Grealish would fit into his system. And then there were similar questions raised about where Erling Haaland would fit into his system. And actually, they both play the games that they're really known for playing and the games that you expect them to play. I mean, that marauding run in the first half that Jack Grealish made, where he couldn't quite thread it into Erling Haaland, that was the Villa Grealish there, you know, just playing with absolute freedom. And clearly he's playing within a system where we possibly don't see the joins, so it looks like he's just running around having the time of his life. Haaland's the same. So I think, you know, Pep is very, very good at adapting the system to the players he wants, I suppose. And it's hard not to be happy for Jack Grealish when he's getting to run around.
Oh, definitely. Just having a lovely run
just
around.
Just having a lovely run around.
Well, he was having a good time on CBS Sports, Paramount, or whatever you call it, because I'm in America, and I was watching it on that, and I had a big telescope, and I was watching it on someone's telly in America. And Grealish immediately got on the mic at the end. Is it Kate Abdo who does the stuff over there?
Yeah.
He immediately dropped an F-bomb, and then Carragher tried to whisper something in Grealish's ear, which might have worked, except Grealish hugged him at the same time and inadvertently put the hot mic into Carragher's face. So Carragher was trying to say something quietly into Grealish's ear, but Grealish had a microphone jammed into his own face. So if I couldn't hear anything, but I'm sure somebody at the back end certainly did. So look, just be careful with hot mics. I spent a little bit of time, actually, speaking of Jack Grealish, in the DJ Grealish metaverse. We spoke about this a little earlier on. I managed to find where this absolute internet monstrosity is, and I downloaded a copy and I went on one of the servers. There's only two servers open. They're both in London, and I was the only person who was visiting DJ Grealish in his metaverse.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Jack Grealish had essentially had a party and only you came.
It's like Lee Sharp's barbecue. Like no adults... No adults invited. So I turned up and no one was in his metaverse. It was all very sad. You can check it out on a video that's linked to via our Twitter page. But this is the sort of thing I got up to. Fuck, it's like a slide, big shiny slide. Ugh, why is it so shiny? It's like I'm going through a catalytic fucking converter. Yes. What the fuck is this bollocks? There he is. He's massive. Massive he is. Even for football. Even for the grift. This is a piece of shit. I'm not casting aspersions, but we are in a nightclub and he does look focused. Anyone here? I mean, this is the metaverse. People are supposed to be here. Anybody join the server? Anybody fancy a dance? Yeah? With the big Jackie G? No? The smoking area? Hello? Is anyone here? I don't know what time this is. Have I been here forever? Or have I been here for 5 seconds? Currently playing track 5. Yeah! Yeah! What
wow.
A shame. What a shame you had to hear that.
How long have you been spending in there, Pete? Be honest with us here.
I think I was staring at some lasers for a bit. I think it might have cooked my brain. I mean, even for like the internet, even for like those kind of grifty NFTers, even for that kind of, you know, raft of humanity that you sometimes run into online, it is a soulless graphics card demo of a place. It really is absolutely atrocious. It's a bit of software that tests out your graphics card in the 1990s. Awful piece of crap.
There is a video of you kind of wandering around in there, isn't there? And Jack Grealish is sort of giant in it.
Yeah, he's absolutely massive,
really,
and he's
quite unpleasant.
He's dancing around, and he's just kind of pointing. He doesn't look like he's doing any DJing himself. He's just sort of pointing hither and thither. Which is quite fun. And then you sort of leave the virtual nightclub, and there's like little kind of... there's two rooms. I think one's... who is the football? I can't remember who football... Which Man City
Gundogan was one, wasn't it?
It was Gundogan, right. And he said Erdogan. Completely different.
Very different.
Similar name, different vibe.
I've got in the wrong room! But,
I've got in the wrong... This is awful.
Why are these the only two rooms?
You got a Gundogan and an Erdogan.
Pete,
Gundogan's...
can Jack Grealish see you? Could he see you?
No, he doesn't react. It's just an animation of Jack Grealish DJing with his DJ friend, just looping over and over again with a DJ kind of set of decks that is three do. Sorry, sorry, mate. It was Ruben Dias. Yeah, okay. It's just a 3D model of Jack Grealish looping over and over again, pointing. Occasionally sort of wafting his hand near some kind of futuristic 3D mixing desks. It's really bottom of the barrel stuff, Fish. It's atrocious. We should hang out together there. We should just pop in for a bit. Yeah. We'd be the only people in there.
Gundogan, Erdogan, whole
gang. Erdogan, Ruben Dias as well. There's basically like little training montages of how like to become a better footballer that, again, are like 30 seconds, 2 minutes long, and they just loop over and over again. And
it's not what you want from VR, is it? You want to shoot stuff.
It's not like... I just feel like Jack Grealish has been taken advantage of. He said, yeah, I want to do some DJing in the metaverse, and this is what they've created. I just feel really sorry for him.
Pete, I have one last question, and please be honest. Did you have to go back?
Right.
Did you have to go back the next day to pick up your coat?
Don't go through the pockets. Don't go through
the pockets. Skin. Where's my skin?
I was a proper like 1990s lose your coat in the nightclub kind of guy. It was every single just kind of like knowing it wouldn't be open on a Sunday, but going on a Monday at about 1 o'clock and sticking my head through the door where the cleaners have let us in, and it's stinking of bleach and Red Bull and sick, and you just going, "Have you got my coat, please?" That was my life for the longest time in Leicester.
I went on a night out in Bath once where there were three of us, and between us we lost three wallets and two phones and three coats, and so we just rely on one of our mates who had a phone, and somehow by 8 p.m. we had everything back. Remarkable.
Oh, that's amazing. How did you do that?
Yeah. Hang on. What?
Wow. Yeah. Unbelievable.
I mean, is your friend, you know, tasty? Is that what you're saying?
Give us it back.
Well, no.
See, like they got one of the blocks out of Gears of War. Give us it back.
It was awful. Well, I mean, it was great, but it was awful in one way because we walked into the club we were in as it opened that night, basically about 8 o'clock, and we walked in, and the main security guard was there, and we walked in thinking, right, we just got to ask it. It's a Hail Mary. He looked at us and went, "Boys, you're back." And it turns out we were buying everyone who came up to the bar drinks, and we all set our wallets down while we were chatting to people, and we just left them there.
Oh, nice. Well, look, at least nobody nicked them. That's wonderful.
I know,
a great thing for the town of Bath, has to be said.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Years never complain about the referees and the action, but this action is really incredible.
Well, let's move back to the football that has happened tonight. An epoch-defining performance from Man City. Real Madrid's players were actually stranded outside Manchester Airport for half an hour after their coach didn't arrive. Surely, Jim, we've all been to Manchester. That's just travel in the north, isn't it? Thanks, Andy Burnham.
That's got to be why this has happened, though, isn't it? Mm. Thinking about it, this is the one variable that's different.
Had it
not been for that, Madrid would probably be going through right now. that's not much of an excuse, is it? I can't remember exactly what we did, but when Liverpool overturned that 3-0 deficit against Barcelona at Anfield by smashing them 4-3, and it was one of the most amazing games we've ever seen in Europe. Did we talk about losing coats in nightclubs and stuff? Did we that quickly get off the football that we just sort of didn't start this, Jim?
We didn't start this. Jack Grealish started this. The club started this with their muggy little graphics card demonstration metaverse. I didn't make it.
I love that. That's your issue with them.
That's my issue with this institution. That's where I've spent my time. To be quite frank. Well, all right. Well, Erling Haaland. He was this week thanking Everton fans on social media for sending him a golden boot to commemorate him breaking the Premier League goal scoring record against them. That is the big club mentality that will see Everton in the Championship next season. But isn't it incredible, Jim, like, that he didn't score tonight in the aforementioned epoch-defining football match?
No, he...
He couldn't believe it.
No, I mean, Thibaut Courtois made some phenomenal saves, two in particular.
Late on as well.
And obviously, there was David Alaba with a clearance for one of those. And the one in the second half, you were thinking he was going to absolutely bury.
Yeah.
I wonder if it was, you know, one of the very rare occasions we saw him getting in his own head. Because you can tell with Haaland... He wants records, you know. He likes the numbers. He likes the stats, and that's not necessarily a bad thing about a player, because he's clearly a team player as well.
Does he? Because he gave that penalty away.
That's true.
I just think he likes the noise the ball makes when it hits the back of the net. June 10th, Istanbul, Vish. They could bag it against Inter, Vish. Is that going to happen? Are Inter going to let muggy Man City make you miserable? Taking your little record away because they've already nailed the Premier League and everything else is going, so...
I'm going to read you a tweet that I retweeted earlier this evening from a very funny poster by the handle of Brent Maxim, at Log Off Brent. It's a screenshot of a DM he sent to Romelu Lukaku. Salam, brother. May I ask that same favour from before? And that's what I'm hoping, that Romelu comes good at Manchester United's time of need. It is all there for them. Like, it's, you know, it is an incredibly unlikely feat at the start of the season, and they are, you know, they are odds-on favourites right now. There is, I don't see any way where, you know, they're not going to lose the league. Sorry, Jim. They're not going to lose the FA Cup final. Sorry.
I'm still fighting for this title.
Yes, I hear, yeah. They're not going to lose to Manchester United in the FA Cup final. Sorry, me. And I just... It feels like... unless Pep has the treble of all mind meltdowns, I just don't see how Inter trump them.
Yeah. I mean, it would be bloody funny, though, wouldn't it, Jim? I mean, it would make this really funny. Amazing. Like, it's quite mechanical, and it's very impressive, like a nice car. But it would be funny if that car just sort of veered off the road and did a roll.
Yeah, it's the most obvious outcome for the story, isn't it? And therefore the least interesting. But if 35-year-old Francesco Acerbi can blunt Erling Haaland, I mean, he was brilliant against Olivier Giroud. They're slightly different tasks at right now, but, you know, who knows? If Edin Dzeko gets a winner, Edin Dzeko, they just Catenaccio the shit out of them. Edin Dzeko, the lovely big mouse, gets a big winner. Maybe they don't win the treble. And then maybe, Vish, if they do beat you in the FA Cup, then you'll get bought by Qatar the same day, and it'll be like a romantic, like, heartwarming end to the tale.
Everyone's in it slopping about.
You'll have your own state.
You're like Alien versus Predator, yay.
Except there's five Predators in the league now.
Yeah.
And you can't see any of them.
Being slightly more serious about the prospects of Inter v City in the final, I think Inter, particularly over the two legs against Milan, which is obviously, you know, has heavy, heavy caveats because of the relationship between those two clubs, they've been defensively very, very solid. And they're a very, very athletic, physical, big team full of tough guys. I know they've got some players that, you know, they're knocking on a bit in there, but they look like they've got, you know, enough in the tank for one last job. I mean, they might need to use up all of the energy that's left over on the remaining years in their contracts in that one night. But I think if they're going to stop Man City, they're going to have to make it into some sort of really, really, you know, just atrocious, sort of horrible, Mourinho-esque, like, just fight in the gutter.
Bring him back.
For one game. Or just like, just have him there in the dugout with no explanation.
Just doing knee slides up and down. Up and down he goes.
Imagine Pep's face if he walked out and saw Mourinho just stood there in the dugout and Mourinho just waves to him like Pennywise from It.
He would do. Do you remember when Steven Gerrard was in the dressing room at Rangers and he saw a picture of the Queen and he did a double take? It would be like that. He'd be like, "I'm not looking at him. Why is he there? I'm confused." Delicious.
Well, if they do go on to win a treble, or they are sort of looking to go on to win a treble by the time it gets to the Champions League final, it's not a quadruple, is it? So Inter could, you know, do a lot worse than bringing the manager that stopped them from winning a treble into that dugout. And do you know who that is?
Nathan Jones.
It's Nathan Jones.
Nathan Jones.
And this was pointed out by Duncan Alexander, Oily Sailor, who was an excellent follow on Twitter. And I was like, yeah, of course, that's right, isn't it? Nathan Jones might be the man who stopped the first ever quadruple.
I think that's a lovely time to end our Champions League chat, because there were other football matches taking place. Coventry have made it into the playoff final. Real shame for Borough, but over the two legs, I watched the first leg and it was probably a fair result all told. Borough bereft of many ideas in the final third. But Jim, Vish, Coventry might make it back if they beat Luton.
Coventry or Luton.
Yeah.
Either way, it's brilliant.
Are we going to see legendary players like Peter Undlove interviewed? Are we going to see... I'm trying to think of other Coventry players. Who was that American man?
Gary McAllister was there for a bit.
Kobe Jones, Darren Huckabee. Will we see these people getting more work because Coventry are back in the Premier League? I'm sorry to Luton fans.
No, we won't. Because it'll be Robbie Keane.
It will be Robbie Keane.
It will be Robbie Keane. Of course it will.
Richard Keys will be delighted. They face Luton at Wembley, Coventry. I could see them doing it from fifth. That's always a delicious, horrible bit of work when a team from five positions down managed to go up. It's absolutely foul, Jim, isn't it?
It's brilliant. That's why the system's
fouled,
so great.
Absolutely fouled. Horrible. Those fouls. And as a Newcastle fan, like, watching what has happened to that fucking club over the years has been dreadful. And then to compound it, having their stadium owned by Mike fucking Ashley. I mean, they deserve it, surely, don't they?
They really do. Mike Ashley and Richard Keys being associated with them is just cruel, isn't it?
It really is.
Absolutely cruel. I would go as far as to say it's the worst thing that's ever happened to Coventry.
But it'd be great sort of seeing, you know, if Leeds can stay up, if Forest can stay up, if Coventry can stay up, this is proper 90s stuff. This is bam, the Lynx Africa out. Beautiful.
A lot's been said about Luton Stadium as well, because it's, you know, has a capacity of just over 10,000.
We saw that before, didn't we?
You need to basically like run through a front garden to get into it, and like there are genuinely stairs that go above people's gardens to get into the ground and stuff. And a lot of people are like, "Oh, that stupid stadium, let's start a Premier League stadium, it's a disgrace." They're like, no, that is fantastic. That's brilliant. Apparently, they're going to have to spend about 10 million quid to get it up to standard. But, like, don't worry about it.
They'll do it quick, haven't they, Vish?
The Luton Stadium chat is getting to the stage where by the time they, you know, well, the time they get to next season, wherever it may be, whether it's still in the Championship or in the Premier League, the conversation will be, yeah, Luton Stadium, the key is under the doormat, and when you lock it, you've got to jimmy the handle up so that it goes, so that you can actually get in. But it's remarkable. Both those sides, Coventry and Luton, were in League Two in 2018. They both got promoted from League Two at the end of the 2018 season. It is astonishing, really. Given like what we were talking about with Man City, what we were talking about with Newcastle, what potentially might happen to a club like Manchester United, those are the clubs that, I don't know, maybe this is being a bit too twee and a bit confected, but it feels like, you know, those are the clubs that they're getting to the Premier League is like remarkable, and like a reminder of like, oh, you know, that's still, even in the Premier League,
there's
even
still
in the
some nice
world,
stories
that still
in there.
Happens, yeah, sometimes.
Yeah. You just have to go a bit further down the pyramid for your romance.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to go down to come back up. What we need is one of those kind of French league cup competitions that just involve everyone. But like the FA Cup, but worse. To bring everyone up with us. Anyway, it has been an incredible night of Champions League football. Apologies to any Man City fans who felt that we didn't give them a fair shake. But look, fuck it. You're in the final. Who cares?
A fair shake. What a choice
yes,
of words.
Good stuff. I didn't even notice that, Jim. Thank you. Do join us later today for On the Continent, where Dotton and Andy are joined by Miguel Delaney. To look back at both semi-finals, Miguel was actually at all of the matches, the lucky bugger, and I think Andy was at tonight's one, and discuss Barcelona's La Liga title win and where it leaves them for the summer with a certain Lionel Messi. Juicy, juicy stuff. Do follow us on Twitter, TikTok, Instagram and YouTube at Football Ramble, and remember to subscribe on your podcast app. The video of me in Jack Grealish's horrendous metaverse will be linked on the Twitter, so check it out now. We'll be back later with On the Continent. As I've already said, Vish, it only remains for you to say good night.
Good night.
Or good morning.
Good morning.
Jim, say goodbye, mate.
Good morning.
Good morning. You're looking lovely. Bye.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.